Welcome back to Chopping Up the Brick. I'm your host, Tony Hustle. This next guest has actually been a close friend of mine since I was 12, so what does that, maybe 8, maybe 9?
Yeah, that's 8, 9.
We go way back.
So when my parents split up, my dad actually moved in with his dad. We would go see him for like weekends. This was where Kyle was also living, and his parents had split up, so we'd get together and remember that he had the weirdest toy. It was this giant battle axe made out of wood, and we would just chase each other around and try to beat the crap out of each other with these wooden sticks and shit. So over the years, I heard things about graffiti, and then all of a sudden I heard things about this Detect clothing line. I was like, hey, you gotta hook me up with some gear. And he comes through with like a stack of clothes. So me being me, you know, I kept a couple, and I wear them religiously. I promote the shit out of his clothes. It's that red hoodie with the big D on it. I'm gonna give one away with this post, I think, actually, if it hits 100 likes. So this guest is Kyle Scott. Why don't you tell him what you started up?
In 2009, I started a clothing company, like an urban streetwear brand.
That brand right there?
Yeah, known as Detect Clothing.
We'll get a picture of that.
I started it off with 3 designs, and just kind of went from there, and kind of just took off from there.
So you're not the first homie from the island I've known that's tried to do this with clothing, but I did notice something a little special about yours, and it was the level you got to with it, you know?
I think that what makes us special and kind of what makes us stand apart from other streetwear brands maybe that have popped up in Vancouver Island recently is that we were the first like urban streetwear brand to really independently do it on like an international level, because like I was shipping clothes to Chicago, I was shipping clothes to Texas, Sacramento, Tennessee, Australia. At one point it got pretty big.
Okay, so how exactly did you just start selling stuff around the world? Like, I know Facebook, you know, you can connect with everyone, but how did you get connected with those people?
A friend of mine introduced me to a rapper. His name was De Niro. We just started talking, and he just started kind of putting me in touch with people he knew just through like his music in other cities, and that's really how I kind of started selling clothes internationally.
Okay, see, I thought Dwight had something to do with it. I'm just a little confused right now.
He like inducted me into this thing called Military Minded Entertainment.
So Dwight's De Niro, right?
Dwight's De Niro. De Niro introduced me into this group of people that he was putting together of all sorts of walks of life, from musicians, producers.
Okay, so this Dwight guy is De Niro, and I guess promoted you, or like were you selling him stuff? What?
I'd ship clothes to them for like a music video or like a photo shoot or whatever. You know, they would do that, and then at least 5-6 of their friends would want to get some clothing. So shout out to De Niro.
So what exactly was the platform that you had built that Dwight contacted you through? Like, I'm guessing social media, right?
For the first few years, we were really just doing it off Facebook. Me and my designer didn't want to pay anybody to make a website or like an online store or anything like that. So we're already designing. I feel like we can start designing websites. So we designed our own website, and we started designing our own website, and that kind of branched off into we've made websites for other people. But you know, it all stemmed from Detect, which stemmed from doing graffiti.
Okay, well, this is Tony Hustle you're talking to, so I get that. Like, I set out to do a podcast. Next thing you know, I'm managing 2 artists' Facebook pages. I've got an artist I'm registering through SoCan so that he can get his music up there. I'm helping him put all his music in one place so he can get a discography of, 320 or 230 followers so he can get his music on Spotify. Trust me, I get how these projects can just all of a sudden become a lot more. But jumping from clothing to web design, like, that's it's a bit of a jump there.
We used to sponsor a lot of the opening acts for shows that would come through. I remember it started with Raekwon. The opening acts were in clothing when Raekwon came, and just kind of went from there. Like, we've sponsored like tons of local events, all sorts of stuff, fights, mostly stuff like that within the community.
Okay, but the clothing itself stemmed from something, right? And I'm assuming that's where you were contributing to the culture. Like, it seems like it came from an influence of a guy who was writing graffiti, right?
Detect was, yeah, like that's what I was into when I was like that young. I was really like loud in your face, kind of wanted to be a graffiti writer. Well, I was a graffiti writer, I wanted to try to be one. And
how long were you going for?
Like Like, I bombed solid for at least 3 years. I wrote graffiti for about 5 years. I haven't been writing recently because I kind of moved over more to digital work, just things of that nature.
Yeah, I think I was like 13 racking cans, and the rush from having, I think I must have had $1,500 worth of paint to be split up. Just a backpack full of paint and just bombing. I mean, steady bombing. And like having someone show you what you're doing with a can and certain techniques, and it's a whole different thing than just going out and writing on walls and getting better. Like, I was kind of brought into the culture and by a dude who, I don't have to say names or nothing, but some of the dudes who showed me what was up, they're like considered legends in the city, right? But then that shows you the contrast between the mind state of an adult versus the mind state of a kid, right?
You know, when I was young, you know, just going to Walmart,
feed the addiction,
25 cans of paint, going on the bombing spree for 2 days, like sleep for a day, and then wake up and go to Walmart and do it all again.
Well, see, this is where I have to kind of back off the conversation because, you know, I did get popped for this when I was like 14 or something, and you know, I made a decision to stop writing that tag that I wrote when I got popped, and yeah, never wrote that tag that I got popped with again. But I don't think we need to confess to anything that, you know, we may or may not have done since.
I don't care, I've been charged for that. You can put that in there.
No, I hear you. I'm just saying that that for me is about as deep as I want to get into graffiti over this. I mean, I'll show some graffiti. I don't really think we need to go too deep into how hard we bombed.
Keep it all in there. I've been charged for it. It's all good. Like, I wouldn't be talking about stuff that I haven't been charged for.
The thing that really bugged me, though, was the way they talked to you like you were a vandal. Like, you were out to destroy things. Because throwing up a character, you know, throwing something up on there that I thought I would... When they stopped you and told you you did something wrong, I thought, you know what, fucking you're welcome.
You know, a lot of people, when I was doing graffiti, they told me, you know, you're being stupid, you're throwing your life away. And if it wasn't for graffiti, I never would have started doing detective. I never would have started wanting to be an entrepreneur or a business person. And detect led me into other things. And I've met so many people from so many different walks of life that I never ever would have gotten to meet if I didn't do graffiti or do detect.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I respect that. If I'm chopping it up with you, right? Like, my graffiti stories, they didn't end with me making websites and logos and designs and clothing, right? So.
You want some graffiti stories? Stuff you can talk about.
I mean, yeah, if you want to share graffiti stories, we are promoting you here. So yeah, chop it up. Let's hear some graffiti stories, as long as you're not incriminating yourself.
I remember at one point, I was bombing me hard a few days after my 18th birthday, and someone's like, yo, let's go bombing. And then so we get drunk and we go out bombing and we get caught. Like, we get in this big kind of, it wasn't like anything crazy. We were like running down Bay Street, the corners on the Bay Street Bridge. But like, we go in and out of the police station half an hour. It was really strange.
Yeah, I don't know, homie. It's not that strange. I mean, in my experience, every time they ever caught me dead to rights with something, they just put that charge on me. They don't waste that fucking time with asking stupid fucking questions that they aren't going to get fucking answers to. But it's when they think they know something that they, you know, they start trying to have a conversation. That's when you just shut up and stare at the table and I need a lawyer, because you're going to leave 24 or 48 hours later. But when you do leave, you know, they're not going to have a charge on you because they're playing stupid fucking question games. But... yeah, I get it. They caught you and they sent you go, what, they sent you with an undertaking?
So they give me a PTA and I get come in and out really quick. It's really weird. And then a few days later, I get a phone call and this chick's like, I'm Constable such and such. I've been appointed like as the head of an intermunicipality graffiti squad. I just want to have like a talk with you. I just want to interview.
So that's where you hang up the phone and you find a lawyer, because now they're playing that game where they're going to fuck you.
It's kind of strange. You want me to come to the police station? It sounds like you're going to arrest me. It's like, well, you're not under arrest. I just want to talk to you. We have the interview. You will be able to leave anytime you want.
Yeah, you'll be free to leave with another fucking court date or some shit. I mean, if you went down to the lawyer, I get it, but I'm guessing your kid, this is like, what, your mom or something made you go?
My dad forced me to go down there, right? Because I'm like...
Oh, right, yeah, okay, your dad, yeah, I can see him not being impressed with this.
My dad's like, well, what the fuck have you been up to? Go down there, and she pulls out, like, a big file with my fucking name on it. Like, I got a mugshot on it, because I had been arrested and charged a couple times for graffiti before.
Yeah.
And she proceeded to tell me that she, the head of this vandal squad, that she was tasked with taking down top 5 or 6 vandals in the city. That's what she told the mayor, and I was first on her list. So she was like, just proceeded to open this file and show me, you know, tags that I had done, things that I had fucking done all over the city for like the last 8-9 months. You have this court date coming up for these charges that you just got, and I plan to go to the judge with all this stuff. If you can help me, like on the top of her list is fucking Easter and stuff. And if you have any information on these two, you know, we can just wash this under the fucking rug.
It's one thing to fucking get caught and, you know, maybe get arrested and look stupid because you're a fucking graffiti artist. It's a whole other thing to fucking sell out your own fucking people because you don't want to fucking take a case. That's some bullshit.
I got charged. They tried to offer me like $2,500 if I had information on Easter. Fucking bullshit. Yeah, that's probably like the biggest graffiti charge that I got. Because I got charged with 10 rather than just the usual 5.
Yeah, so obviously you got charged.
I was at a crossroads with my graffiti.
That's some bullshit when you get more time for painting on a wall than a fucking rapist gets.
Yeah, 100. They were, oh, if fuck, you continue to do this, you're gonna... I know I just, but it was like, I just turned 18 and like, you know, they were like trying to scare me.
So this is starting to sound pretty sketchy.
I know, I got charged. People can look up my court documents. I got fucking community hours, I got 2 years.
I'm fucking with you, G. This is chopping up the brick, not wrapping up a loose end. Okay, back to the story, though. So, what happened now? You got the charge. You're taking the charge. You're not taking the fucking money. So, what next?
I remember just thinking, I can't keep going out there and catch cases now that I'm an adult. Like,
yeah, I don't know, man. I know some people, the way they go to Wilkie, you gotta wonder if, like, they just love going to jail.
Yeah, I love art. I got to channel it into something, and at the time, you know, I was also getting into some other things.
Well, of course, art's the reason you get into it, right? But I'm just saying, some people, they don't give a fuck about going to jail. They'll do it over anything. Paint, fucking whatever. It becomes their fucking life, right? And, I mean, I get that you're struggling because you have an addiction to the art, but you made a good decision to be like, this isn't the life for me. Because as hard as people want to say they are, well, you know, I take that time, get the fuck out of here. Like, come on. You're not doing this so you can be the hardest motherfucker in town unless you're a tagger. You're a fucking graffiti artist. You're doing this shit because you're trying to express yourself. It's art, right?
Like, that's not really a lifestyle that I wanted to pursue at that time. You know, you don't want to be that guy in the movie and someone's walking here for 2 years or such and such. Well, I'm here for like a couple weeks for painting the wall.
Yeah, it's definitely not a good look.
No, not at all. So, you know, I didn't know much about digital art. I knew I wanted to do something with my art. So I went to my friend, Jake. He had 10, 12 years experience with Photoshop and Illustrator. We've been friends since grade 4. And I said, I need help, you know, taking these thoughts, these designs that I have in my head from the computer. That's what we started to do. We made 3 designs at first. Those sold out. Those 3, I picked up that package of other things or something like that. 3 different designs was on like a couple days. And like after that first thing that I created was gaining a little bit of traction, then I really decided to roll myself into this, and I jumped in with both feet, started designing. A friend of mine came to me, Mitch. So he said, yeah, you know, I see what you're doing. I want to be a part of this. You know, I don't want to be a worker. This fully, right? And so that's what we did, and we dropped probably one of our...
What did he bring to the table then?
A business. He brought business to it, paperwork. When Mitch got involved, that's when we became official business with the Commerce of Victoria. Now we have a tax number, and now I have like wholesale numbers, so I can go to wholesalers. And he's the reason why we have the wholesalers.
He's why it's legit.
Exactly, rather than...
Just straight up out of the trunk of your car.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Out of the trap of my house.
Okay, well, that's dope. I mean, this is exactly what I like to promote. Just people taking, you know, like their contribution to the culture, which isn't always a positive thing in your life. Like, graffiti is one of those things where people think, oh, you're artsy. No, man, it's like an addiction. Like, I see that wall and I gotta put something up on it, right? For you to take that and turn it into something positive, respect, homie. Nothing but respect. I'm glad we could chop this up. But problem is that the tech brand, right, is...
Probably one of our most successful lines we dropped then. That line probably has most of our classics in it. Well, I had the most fun with that line. real simple line. It sold really well. People really liked it. We had these hoodies that people loved. It just worked, and then we just kind of started going from there.
Like, as far as I know, I'm the last person to get any of it, and I got a nice size care package from you.
Yeah, well, you probably even have more Detect clothing than I have at this point.
Well, I did give a shirt to Young Dre, and that ended up, he took it to a photo shoot, and yeah, it ended up on the cover of his album. And I'm going to be giving away one of your shirts with this post here. When it hits 100 likes, I will give away another one. But I mean, these are shit I haven't even worn, so I do have a stack of them. So why is that, you know, I'm the only one with Detect clothing? Because it feels like I'm supporting my closet now.
We took a hiatus, a break, whatever you want to call it, for 3 years. We were just going too hard, too fast, and didn't have enough actual business knowledge. It was cool when we were selling stuff hand-to-hand from Facebook out of my house and whatnot. That's okay because we knew that. That's what we knew. But then when it was time to go more into the business world and start maybe marketing to boutiques and doing stuff like that, at the age that we were at, we didn't really have that experience. So we made business mistakes. Business mistakes cost money.
Say no more, I get it. Just because you're holding a quality product doesn't mean you're gonna turn it over for a high profit. You gotta know what you're doing and flip things over. And I mean, that's part of life, right? Like, you learn lessons through mistakes. So you're not done with this. Like, we're gonna get to that. But I mean, I get it. You're young, first company. You basically used it to keep your ass out of jail. Like, of course you're gonna make some mistakes. But I mean, if you're serious about this, you know, you pay attention to those mistakes and you learn from them, and then that's where you make your next move from, right?
I've been studying independently, like I've been taking courses, but I study business. I'm always trying to elevate my game. But as far as the tech goes, the tech's unfortunately dead. We're not going to be doing any more Detect anymore. What we're focusing all our energy on right now is creating a new brand, actually. It's going to be called Art of Silence, or AFS. It's going to be different from Detect, whereas Detect was really like loud, in-your-face, urban streetwear brand. I really want to bring like a lifestyle clothing, you know, something that's maybe a little bit less in-your-face, simple, yet effective. And I want to bring a real West Coast vibe to it. West Coast lifestyle, Fresh Coast. That's what I'm all about. I just remember I had a job just being up all night till like 2, 3 in the morning every night just designing with Jake. Just boom, boom, boom. Designing, sleep for like 4 or 5 hours, like wake up at 6 or 7, like go to my job. Like that was my life with Detect, and I loved it.
Yeah, bro, you just described a day in the life of a hustler.
Just grinding. I've always been about that, I guess. We're just letting things flow naturally, and it's beautiful.
It's happening organically.
Organically, that's a good word.
Yeah, that's what they pay me the big bucks for, bro. Coming up with the good words. So what else you got going on?
We got new designers. We're linking up with new people. Shout out to, like, Jake and Mitch. People who have helped us in the past. Everybody from Military Minded Entertainment. De Niro, Dwight, what up? I see you, bro.
Shout out to Young Dre.
Shout out to Young Dre.
I hooked him up with one of the shirts that you gave me in that care package.
Yeah. And I saw that.
And he wore it to a photo shoot and used it for his album cover.
Yeah, I saw that. It's cool, man. Like, shout out to the homie for representing. That's cool and everything.
That's cheap.
People can't get it.
Yeah.
That's something people can't get.
Yeah.
Didn't really think about that. Just a shout out to everybody who's ever bought a Detect shirt from anywhere, ever, who's ever supported us, ever. You know, without you guys, I never would have been able to live my dream of selling art, getting paid to do it.
I know you're big into the Filthy Clean Pros, too.
Yeah, Double R, Info. I linked up with them. We were doing a project together, threw them some clothing, and next thing you know, they're wearing it in their music videos and stuff. Some dope music videos, too. And ever since then, just kept in contact, always hollered at them, seeing what they're doing. I feel like being from Victoria makes people more creative just based on all the beautiful shit we get to see every day. Yeah. So I always like to see like other people from the island doing creative shit.
Yeah, you know, you make a good point there, because with all these different people that I'm chopping up bricks with, most of them are connected through high schools I went to. Like, I think they put something in the fucking water, because there's a lot of people up here in the West Coast just coming out with dope music and putting out dope art and just contributing to the culture in a really heavy way. And, I mean, it's gonna look sick when you have all these pricks next to each other and you can see what kind of work's actually going on up here. So I got a couple more in editing, but that's it for this one. I'll probably drop one, maybe two on you in the next 24 hours, but we'll see how that goes. I do have a couple other things I gotta take care of, so till then, just keep it 100 and count on me to come back with another break to chop up.